Hey everybody, it's episode 192, PodQuest.
Yeah!
It's Wednesday, May 2nd, 2018. I am Chris, and with me, via the magic of the internet, it's Druten.
Woo, internet magic.
Walnut took a night off because, I don't know, he's being a baby or something.
My bushes.
Yeah, episode 192.
You know, like, the one time in, like, the last 2 years we could have done a full-on talk about a movie that just came out cast with all three of us, because I actually saw the movie the opening weekend, or week. But no, Richie doesn't show up. Fucking Walnut.
That's because he kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. That's why I was trying to tell him. I'm like, look, since you got all your shit figured out, why don't you just, like, hop on Skype? He's like, no, I want to be lazy. I'm like, what is lazier than sitting on Skype and talking to somebody? Granted, he's the one that does the least for the show anyway, because he doesn't leave his house.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't set anything up.
Nope.
He just kind of sits there and lets everyone do stuff around him.
Yep.
And then talks and complains.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wish he listened. I wish he listened to this. Man, it's weird. I must have something set to automatically lower the audio in Audacity.
It's possible.
Because I keep watching it. I keep raising the microphone level, and then it keeps just bringing it right the fuck back down.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And I know, yeah, I must have on this particular computer, I must have something set for it. Because I know normally it doesn't do that. Because normally I have it turned up a little bit higher so that I can do more like fine tuning with the mixer and not have it just turned all the way up on the mixer.
Right, right.
Anyway, that's not really important right now.
Nope.
So before we start, little housekeeping. If you want to find more of our stuff, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can also help us out and support us by going over to patreon.com/onequest. Any little bit will help, and if we start getting a little bit, we can start giving a little bit back in the form of more content.
Yeah.
But anyway, how about some of that news?
How about that news?
So, some things have happened.
The pre-E3 leak is starting to happen.
Yeah, I guess that's something
a little bit.
You could call it. Man, this volume thing is really getting on my nerves. Hang on a second.
Okay. I'll cut
it literally just keeps making my audio lower and lower and lower.
Interesting.
And then it just went up when I was talking low. This is just frustrating.
Turn off that auto-tune.
I'm going to see if I can do it without stopping the recording. Of course I can't. Of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you cannot.
That's frustrating.
Listen, I'm dealing with the fun of using a different microphone to record my audio into Audacity than the one I'm using to talk to you.
Huh.
For some reason, Audacity is not recognizing the microphone on my headset, so I just have the Yeti in front of me recording into Audacity.
That is weird. I agree. Well, I might have to just amplify myself a whole bunch for this to actually be reasonable, because I don't feel like starting over. Anyway, about that news.
Yeah.
Took a little sidetrack there. Instead of starting with the video game news, I'm actually going to start with some other news.
Oh?
The Power Rangers have been sold.
Oh, yeah, I did see this.
Yeah, so, it's, with the article. Man, I am just all kinds of...
Hasbro bought it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I had an article open for it, and now I can't... There it is. Yeah, I found it.
Five.
Yeah, Hasbro acquired the whole brand
mm-hmm.
for $520 million in cash and stock from Saban.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I guess. Has Hasbro been doing like other stuff for Power Rangers? Like, I don't know who put out that movie.
That was Saban. Saban and Summit was the production company.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty. I'm surprised to see that in 2018 the Power Rangers brand is worth that much.
Well, yeah, you're not wrong. Like the movie did not help, but
no.
Like they're still making shows. And actually, one of the things I was going to talk about when we got to like stuff we're doing, is the comic book that's like currently out there. It's a Boom Studios book, but it's actually really good. It's based in, like, the Mighty Morphin era.
Okay.
So, like, I believe the first issues of it started, like, right after the Dark Green.
Okay.
But, like, that's something to talk about later. But, yeah, like, the brand is still viable out there. And like, there's a current show on, I think, right now. I don't know which one it is, but like every year there's a new version of Power Rangers out there.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's still a thing. I'm just surprised it's that much of a thing to be worth $500 million.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with you. It's just with how much other things cost nowadays, I am not, I guess, as surprised that it's $500,000. Because like, there are other things that, like, I mean, look at how much like something like Marvel movie just make, like Avengers Infinity War made more than that in its opening weekend.
Sure, but
so that's not that much money anymore. I mean, it is, but it isn't. Sorry, I am trying to fix the microphone as we're talking too.
Fun. Yeah, I was. How much did Disney pay to buy Marvel?
You know, I just saw that the other day, and I don't remember.
$4 billion.
Okay, I was gonna say it was in the billion.
So 8 times the amount.
And I'm sure Star Wars are too. Well, not because it wasn't just Star Wars; it was all of. But I have to imagine that had like a pretty price tag to it.
The Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
$4.06 billion.
Yeah, like that's a lot of money. So see, in the grand scheme of things, Power Rangers didn't really bring in that much.
I guess.
And, I mean, Hasbro does so much, because, I mean, they're toys, they do games, they now have the rights to television and movies.
Yeah.
Like, they're just probably going to merchandise the hell out of Power Rangers.
Oh, I'm sure.
Which, I mean, when we were kids, it was merchandised like crazy. I don't know, I don't think it's at a fraction of what it was in the 90s. Like, I don't think kids are that into it the way they were when we were, like, in, like, first and second grade.
I could not tell you.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, like, I don't know either, but it's just one of those... It doesn't have, like, that, like, same pop culture awareness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not watching the station it airs on either. So.
Me either, but, like, I don't think I have seen many kids dressed as Power Rangers on Halloweens in the couple years I've been living in this house.
Fair. I honestly, like, a lot of the... I don't see a lot of good costumes on Halloween.
Also fair.
Like, I don't know whether the kids don't care anymore or the parents don't care anymore, but somebody in that equation just doesn't give a fuck. But yeah, like, I remember when we were kids and it would... I think it was I want to say it was when they introduced Lord Zedd.
Okay, right.
One of those, or maybe all three of them, because I think it was a three-part thing, aired in, like, prime time.
I cannot say I remember that, but I don't remember a whole lot, so...
Yeah. Like, I could be wrong, but I'm, like, 90% sure at least some part of, like, that era of Power Rangers had, like, a prime time premiere because it was such a big deal at the time.
Hmm.
Kind of like that time that, like, the Ninja Turtles played a concert, because...
Mm-hmm.
It was the 90s,
and right.
Who fucking knows what's going on. But yeah, so Hasbro owns them now. We'll see what they do with the brand. Probably not make another movie.
Probably not.
Or maybe they do. Maybe they make another movie and see what happens.
You know, also fair.
Yeah. So you've heard that DC is also getting into the streaming service game, right?
I think that has been brought up.
So they have officially named the service.
Oh.
It's going to be DC Universe.
How creative.
Yeah. So that's a name, I guess. But it is also, they also revealed a bunch of logos for shows. And I don't think all of these have actually been announced either. So you have the live action Titans series, which is going to be like Teen Titans, but mm-hmm. like they're supposed to be like a little bit older. There's the new season or continuation or whatever they're calling it of the cartoon Young Justice, which has been known for a while. There's also going to be an adult-oriented Harley Quinn animated series, so probably something you'd find on like Adult Swim.
Okay.
And then there's also apparently going to be a live-action Swamp Thing series.
Sure, why not?
Which, like, Swamp Thing's actually kind of a cool character. I'm not sure if that'll be an interesting show though, like at all.
Who knows? They've done. Was there a Swamp Thing live action movie way back when?
I think there were two of them. They were like the non low budget versions of the Toxic Avenger.
Right.
I vaguely remember the first one not being that bad. Like, it's very much of its time, but not that bad. But mm-hmm. the like, a couple things that the service has going for it is, like, Jeff Johns is going to be involved, who, I mean, obviously he's the president of DC Entertainment at this point, and Greg Berlanti, who basically makes all of the CW shows.
Okay.
So, like, at least they have two people that have a pretty good track record with this stuff, at least to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's happening.
So, DC's owned by Time Warner.
Yes.
Is Time Warner doing a streaming service, or are they just doing DC stuff?
I think it's just the DC stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really strange. Because, like, oh, you know what? There was another show that actually isn't listed here that I remember hearing about. It's going to be Metropolis, which is going to be by the same people that did Gotham.
Okay.
And considering it's just called Metropolis, I can only imagine it is basically going to be Gotham again.
Right.
But in the not dark, gritty city.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes you wonder, like, how interesting is it going to be? But I think, if I remember correctly, that was the one that was going to focus on, like, a younger Lois Lane, like, just starting out as a reporter, investigating, like, LexCorp stuff, something like that. Like, it actually cannot involve Super because he is still in Smallville at the time. So, like, maybe, like, a young Clark Kent comes and, like, sees the Bugle, or not the Bugle, fucking Spider-Man, Daily Planet, but mm-hmm. I don't see them being able to do much else with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, jumping on to something else, Netflix announced that they're going to make their main focus with original content on sci-fi and fantasy, which...
I mean, Stranger Things has done real well for them.
Yeah, I hear that show Altered Carbon is pretty good.
Yeah, I remember that. Getting a lot of buzz when that came out.
But, like, they have other stuff that's not science fiction or fantasy that... I mean, I guess... So there's the show Santa Clarita Diet with mm-hmm. Drew Barrymore and Timothy Olyphant.
Right.
That she becomes a zombie. But it's like a sitcom more thing. Like, it's a yeah. comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually pretty funny. And I guess, like, because there's, like, the whole zombie element to it, like, I guess that can fall into that realm.
Yeah.
But then you have, like, things like Orange is the New Black, House of Cards, which I realize is... They have a lot of good content that doesn't fall there. And I feel like them focusing on two, like, specific genres like that, it's going to kind of hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like sci-fi and fantasy, but I don't necessarily want to watch a ton of it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Especially with how much stuff that they pump out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All the streaming stuff is going to get real weird in the next, like, 2 years or whatever.
I agree. Especially, did you see the stuff about Comcast that they want to start cutting internet speeds for people that don't have cable service?
Yeah, I did see that.
Which, especially with, like, the net neutrality stuff ending, like, they can just start doing weirder and weirder stuff to limit people's ability to use streaming services without paying them more and more money or subscribing to more of their service.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing that they have going with Netflix is they have some sort of deal worked out now because you can actually watch Netflix right through cable box.
Yep.
Even surprisingly, like when you if you're looking at stuff on demand and it's available on Netflix, that is just one of the options.
Interesting. I haven't noticed that. But
yeah, like when I was watching that One Punch Man show, because the whole thing is also available on Netflix, I had those were the viewing options. I could either watch the Cartoon Network Toonami version of it or the Netflix version.
Interesting.
Yeah. The only downside was at a certain point I had to watch the Netflix version, which was only in Japanese.
Ah.
Yeah. That's why I was watching the Toonami version. What do I have next? All right. So we're on to the video game stuff.
Okay.
So little God of War news. Not so much news as IGN likes to overinflate their article titles. So let me just read you the headline for this. Oh. You know what? Since I looked at this article, they have updated the headline. Good okay. for them. So the original headline was God of War director has plans for 5 more games.
Okay.
Or something along those lines. But that was completely taken out of context. Corey Barlog was on Kotaku's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And said something along the lines of, like, he has ideas for, like, up to 5 games.
Okay, like, sure.
Nothing's planned, that the studio isn't working on anything. Just in his mind, he has enough ideas for, like, 5 games.
And, I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of those creative types have ideas for five or more games at any given time.
Exactly. But yeah, IGN and a couple other places like jumped on that as, oh, they're making five more games.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Jason Schreier from Kotaku was he was really angry yesterday, I think it was about it last night, because I guess I don't know whether he was involved in the podcast or if it was coming off of Kotaku, but like he was like screen capping a lot of the source, like the other news sources that were posting it, and just being like, how about you guys pay attention to what you're posting? Like, that's not what was said at all. It's like, this is the problem with media. Like, nobody actually fact checks anything. They just post big headlines and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the good news there outside of the weird headline is, should Sony Santa Monica want to, they could keep making God of War games for a while.
Yeah. I mean, this one apparently was real good. I have yet to play it, but...
It is. I am a large number of hours into it. I am definitely over the 20, I would think, by now. The 20-25 that, like, they were saying, like, it would take to beat it. But I've also done a lot of side stuff, and I spend a lot of time in... Whenever I get to a new area, I spend a lot of time running around for stuff, because there's so much hidden items and little treasure puzzles in the world that make you more powerful. And it's one of those games where... Like, did you ever play the original God of Wars?
I played the first one. I think that's the only one I ever finished.
So you know how in that one it was, you know, you collect the red orbs and then you could just dump the red orbs into stuff to get, like, new abilities and power-ups and everything? So this one is, like, it's half armor-based, half experience-based.
Okay.
So your XP you get from, like, battles and completing the quest lines gives you, like, abilities and lets you upgrade, like, specific types of attacks, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Your armor, though, is what gives you your level and your stat increases.
Okay.
So, like, all the enemies in the world have a level associated with them, and their health bar will change color depending on where you fall in that level. So, like, a green health bar obviously means that they're fairly weak and you shouldn't have any problem with them, whereas a purple one means you're probably going to get the shit kicked out of you.
Okay.
You can generally, like, if you have the space to move... And there's only one of them. Generally, taking out a purple isn't that big of a problem. At least I haven't run into one that I couldn't beat. Unless I was in... There's a couple times where the area is just too small to, like, dodge. And a lot of these guys have, like, some sort of AoE attack.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're that much higher than you, a lot of times it's, like, one AoE attack basically knocks you down. And then they just, like, slash you two times real quick and you're dead.
Yeah.
And a lot... You do have like a resurrection stone ability, but it's kind of dumb to use that and then to just get up and die again.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I'll just let myself die and respawn like just before that fight and then make a mental note to come back there after I get a little more armor.
Mm-hmm.
But I forget how I got there. But it is very enjoyable and it gives you a lot to do in the game. Like I can see why people are spending as much time with it as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think I'll platinum it, because some of the stuff is just too tedious to want to actually do.
Yeah.
Like finding Odin's Raven, shit like that, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
I kill them when I see them, but I don't want to go hunting down 51 fucking birds.
Sure.
Especially because there's a few of them that I've seen, and I've looked all over trying to figure out where I can land my boat to take them out, and mm-hmm. at least where I'm at right now, there is no viable option. And it's like, I don't want to waste time coming back here trying to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there's that. Probably going to get more God of War. Not a bad thing. Yeah. CD Projekt Red confirmed that they are going to have an RPG at E3.
Okay. That's weird wording.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be Cyberpunk 2077, I believe.
I believe so. Name? Yeah.
I know it's Cyberpunk. I think it's 2077. I might have the number. But it would be kind of weird if they came out with like something totally different.
Yeah.
Like another Witcher expansion or something. Though I know they said they were done with all that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play The Witcher 3 at all?
I have not played any of The Witcher games.
I only played 3. 3 was really good up to a certain point, and then it just got a little too tedious.
Mm.
Like, it was too big of a game.
Mm.
And I hope the same thing does not happen to Cyberpunk.
I would not get my hopes up.
Oh, I'm not. But I can hope.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of the things I was seeing people posting about online was trying to figure out whether CG Project is going to be on the Xbox or PlayStation stages. I don't know. It's weird. I kind of feel like they're going to end up on PlayStation if they end up on any.
I think they'll be on both. Like, I feel like they were showing up on both this with Witcher.
I don't know. They don't do that very often.
I don't remember.
Like, there haven't been many games in the last few years that have actually had a presence on both. Even, I think the last time they did it was when Ubisoft, for whatever reason, had Assassin's Creed show up everywhere. The only place it wasn't was on, like, the EA press conference. And I think that might have been Syndicate. So, I mean, that was, what, 3 years ago now? 2 years ago?
Yeah, like, three.
Yeah. But yeah, I just have a feeling that they're going to end up on PlayStation, because Xbox seems to always kind of go in a different direction with the show at E3, and it's the big AAA games that people want to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's always like, here's the new Forza, and then here's a bunch of other stuff, maybe? Like, do you want to see a teaser for something? Like, here's a teaser for Halo. It'll be out in 2022. Man, yeah. I can't believe they're still making Halo games.
Yep.
So, I think it was last week when you weren't on, we talked about, they revealed the next DLC character for Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh, yeah. No.
And it's going to be Fuse Zametsu, which is like the Goku Black Fusion thing from the show.
Okay.
We talked about it last week. I don't feel like going over it again.
That's fine.
But I guess somehow it got leaked that they are also going to be releasing Super Saiyan Blue Vegito. The fusion of Goku and Vegito with the earrings.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is part of the same... I think that happens in the Goku Black story arc, where the Goku Black Future Zametsu thing happens. So,
sure.
Kind of makes sense to do both of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, do we really just need another version of Goku when it comes down to it?
Of course. Why not?
Like, that makes, like, 12 versions of Goku. Especially if you count, like, Bardock, who is basically just Goku. Because they let Bardock turn into a Super Saiyan, apparently.
Sure, why not?
I really wish that these character reveals would be, like, more interesting characters. But at this point, I feel like we're just not going to get interesting characters. We're just going to get, like, more palette swaps of Goku.
I mean, they've got, like, 15 more they can do.
Yeah, I mean, they're still the Ultra Instinct Goku,
mm-hmm.
who basically looks identical, but he's a little shinier.
Oh, it's a shiny Goku.
Yeah, exactly. His hair is still black, but it's got more, like, of, like, that gray-white shine to it.
Right, right.
And I think his eyes do the same thing. Like, he still has black eyes, but they put, like, more of, like, a lens flare on them. And he just gets, like, all of his line work is darker. So he looked even more anime than he already does. And that's saying something.
Because Goku is, like, the most anime.
I mean, he kind of isn't, though. Because Toriyama can really only draw two faces. So, like, if you look at all of the characters, they all basically look... Like, if you take their hair... All of the characters in Dragon Ball basically look the same.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you take, specifically, if you take Future Gohan from, like, the Trunks timeline, and Yamcha, and put them next to each other, you kind of can't tell them apart, because they both have a bunch of scars on their...
Yeah.
And the same haircut.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. Nintendo Switch services, online services, are probably going to be explained next month.
Oh.
So I don't know if that... It says next month, which makes me wonder if... So, this was from the end of April. So, I don't know if next month is, like, in May, or, like, a month out, so, like, late May, early June.
Which would be E3.
Exactly. Which, like, it seems a little weird to wait until, like, to announce that stuff in E3, or in May, and then just have E3 for, like, their normal weird little Nintendo Direct stuff. But it's Nintendo, so who knows?
Also true.
They do all sorts of weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't expect the online service to be stellar, but I'm interested to see what it ends up actually being.
Yeah.
Like, an interest is a... I don't even know if that's the right word for it.
I really do want to know what they're doing with the free game things with that you can also play online with the, like, the classic games.
Not enough. That's what they're doing.
That's probably going to be accurate.
Oh, wow. This got too loud now. So I found out why Audacity was acting like a dick.
Oh.
It was actually Windows. Windows Update turned on the let Windows manage your audio device for you.
Oh, of course it did.
And I turned it off, but apparently it won't take effect until like I close Audacity and open it again.
Great.
So I'm just stuck with very finicky audio for this. But hopefully I can just level everything out later and it'll sound all right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah. So the Norway, I'm sure you heard about this, filed a complaint against Sony, Nintendo, and Valve for breach of...
Oh, I did see a headline about this, but I did not know exactly what it was talking about.
So it loot box.
Oh, okay.
It's about loot.
Is that what that's a... Okay. It's not what I thought that was going to be about.
It basically comes down to... And not all of the games that like are initially mentioned like fall under it the same way, but they're basically saying that like the gambling aspect of loot boxes isn't okay, especially because minors play the games.
Mm-hmm.
And they would prefer that to not happen. And if Norway's doing it, and that like expands in the greater like EU,
right?
That could be a big problem for those companies.
Sure would.
Yeah, and it kind of makes you wonder. So if the EU gets to the point where they are not allowing game companies to have like loot boxes and microtransactions and basically gambling inside of these games, like, what are the companies going to do? Are they just going to exclude that stuff from the European releases and leave them in for, like, Asian and American and, like, Australian releases? Or would they just cut their losses, pull it out altogether, and not have to try and, like, micromanage, you know, what games can connect to what servers?
Yeah, I mean, Europe is way too big of a market to just completely abandon.
Exactly.
So, it all depends exactly what they need to do to be compliant. Because if it's completely remove loot boxes or, like, any sort of pay-for-chance type system in the games, like, maybe prices on games in Europe go up, and then probably everywhere, if they can't rely on that back-end extra income for games.
Yeah, and, like, it's just weird. Like, I realize, like, at this point, games have changed a lot in the last 10 years. Like, the amount of money it takes to make them and everything has gone up.
Yep.
But the price hasn't changed since the transition from PS2 to PS3.
Was it even PS2 to PS3? And not... Were PS2 games $50, or were they $60?
They were $49.99.
Okay.
And then, yeah, the PS3 era is when it was $59.99, and it has been that price ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, back... Super Nintendo games, like, their costs were all over the place. Like,
yep.
You had a $30 game, you had a $120 game.
Mm-hmm.
Just depending on the resources required to make it and the manufacturing costs.
Cartridges are expensive.
Yeah. But, like, the last 10 years, it's been a pretty stable market. Mm-hmm. Like, outside of used sales, because you have places like GameStop that price gouge things and create fake need for stuff, like, what was it, Xenoblade Chronicles? I think the first one on Wii.
Yep.
That was the one where like they published the game in North America and then only released a limited amount so that they could then only sell them used for like $90 instead of $60 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real shitty thing, but it's very GameStop.
That it was.
But yeah, like I don't know how many games I will buy if the price has to go up. I already don't really get into microtransactions.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if a game's gonna be $80 instead of $60, I'm not buying as many.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, I just can't afford it.
Nope.
And I feel like a lot of people will be that way. Like, you're either going to see more, like, indie titles being purchased by people because they're generally cheaper, or AAA titles are going to be few and far between because companies are going to have to put less out to actually make any sort of profit. Like, Ubisoft might not be able to put out, like, 6 different games a year, because people aren't going to buy enough of them for them to make a profit based on like the labor and stuff that goes into making.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? Neither of us are business analysts.
Nope.
I think that was all the news, though.
I saw one other, like, you know, semi-news thing.
What you got?
I Am 8-Bit, the, like, reproduction house. They did the Street Fighter 2 SNES cartridge, like, a year or two ago.
Right, right.
They're doing a Mega Man X and Mega Man 2 cartridges.
I did see that. I didn't really look into it, though, because I thought it was just one of those stupid, like, sponsored article things that, like, GameSpot and IGN tend to have.
No, no. So, there's going to be 8,500 copies of each. It looks like the, I don't know if this is only the special edition one that the 1,000 random people are going to get, but the Mega Man 2 NES cartridge is, like, light blue.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
The SNES cartridge is gray, like normal, but then there's also, like, a clear blue one for that 1,000 random people will get. There's 8,500 of each, and they're $100. So, you know, if you really like Mega Man and really want a reproduction cart of Mega Man 2 or Mega Man X, that's a thing that's happening.
I feel like I'd rather just go, like, buy an actual copy of Mega Man 2.
Like, I mean, my understanding is, like, this should work in your an NES or a SNES.
Yeah, I know the Street Fighter one was supposed to work, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know. I feel like if I am that big of a fan of Mega Man, I'd rather own, like, the legitimate cartridge than what is essentially a fan reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when there's, like, a limited quantity of them, so people are going to be real douchey about it.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you go to any sort of, like, convention or something where they're selling, like, retro games, there are always copies of Mega Man 2.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, they're in varying quality, but, like, the prices are never that outrageous on them. Like, I think, like, a boxed copy goes for, like, over 100, but everything else is fairly reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And probably not that much more than what, like, it originally retailed at, considering how expensive some of those games were back then.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you have any other news?
No, that was it.
All right. Well, let's move on to what we've been doing. Do you wanna kick it off? We'll save Avengers stuff for the end. This way, if we get into spoilers, we can just like call spoilers.
Sure. I'll go first. I've been dealing with crippling depression and have done jack shit other than saw Avengers yesterday.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. I've kind of been in the, like, legitimately really bad depression lately, to where, like, I've just not wanted to do much other than hang out with Sarah.
So you should have taken my original recommendation to Richie and had some ice cream.
I've had plenty of ice cream over the last 2 weeks.
Well, apparently you haven't had the right kind of ice cream.
Apparently not.
You need to go get the good stuff. Get, like, some,
mint chocolate chip and throw some peanut butter on it. All right.
I was trying to think of the name of that. Who is the brand they're in? They're in Reading Terminal.
Bassett's?
Yeah, Bassett's. They make good ice cream.
They don't make the fucking Gadzooks anymore.
Yeah, I know. That one's been gone for quite a while.
Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, there's a Philadelphia ice cream, an ice cream company based in Philadelphia called Bassett's, that they used to make a flavor of ice cream around a local morning radio show, the Preston and Steve show. And it was a really good ice cream. It had a lot of shit in it.
Yeah. They wound up making three different ones for them. Yeah.
Was it two or three?
Well, there were two versions of Gadzooks. There was the original with the chocolate ice cream, and then they did one with the vanilla ice cream.
Right, right.
And then they did the Guatemalan Ripple.
Oh, I forgot that was another Preston and Steve inspired flavor.
Yeah.
That, and apparently the Franklin Fountain has really good ice cream.
Yeah, haven't been there. I've seen that place, though.
Yeah, I was watching, I've always heard of it, but I was actually watching, I want to say it was Bizarre Food, but it wasn't, like, the regular one, it was, like, the Delicious Destinations or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
And they were in Philly, and that was one of the places they stopped, and I didn't realize it, but, so they make all the ice cream in-house, like, with, like, unique recipes for them.
Cool.
But they also make their own root beer for their root beer floats.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Like, they have, and they, like, make it in the basement, like, they have this big, like, copper pot that mixes syrup in, and they put it into this old-fashioned looking like tap that chills and carbonates it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it made me want to go there and check that out a little.
Yeah, maybe we shall sometime.
Yeah, it's right on second and Market, I think.
I'm pretty sure, right? Yeah.
I know I have passed it.
Yeah, same. But yeah, I mean, you know, I've played a little Overwatch and a little NHL, but had no drive to really play anything new.
You should get into Nier for that existential crisis.
Yeah, that was totally what I needed. No, I do need to get back into playing Nier, though.
I'm telling you, it'll fuck with your head, and it'll just make everything seem better. When you look at how bad things can be, you're like, you know what? Things aren't that bad.
It's fair.
Robots aren't eating the Earth.
But yeah, that was why I wasn't on last week, and yeah, I've just been feeling not great, but, you know.
These things happen.
Exactly.
You just kind of roll with it and things ideally get better.
Yep.
Well, I guess I did quite a bit.
Well, fuck, I thought this was just going to be a short episode.
I mean, it probably still won't be long, because one of the things I did, I played the Detroit demo.
Oh.
It's just the hostage scene that we've seen at E3 like 3 times.
Okay.
It was still neat to actually play through it myself, though. I only went through it once, and I got a not bad ending.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming, just because of how much stuff there is, that there is some way that you can finish it by saving the girl and the android. Hmm. But I was only able to save the girl. The android got shot a whole bunch.
Oh.
But it was neat, because it kind of mixes those Quantic Dream games where you're like just kind of walking around looking at stuff.
Mm-hmm.
With like the Arkham game, okay. where you reconstruct the crime scene.
Right, right.
So none of it was hard, but I imagine as the game goes on, if like assuming you're playing as the character Connor more, which I think he is one of the three main people you rotate around.
Okay.
A larger crime scene would probably take longer to find things and like piece it out,
because
you basically, when you enter the room, it tells you like what your percent chance of actually successfully talking the dude down is, and as you find different things and learn more about what happened, and like you literally like you see like reconstructions of like him shooting people and stuff like that, and like you find the gun and you find out why he did it, like it lets you go into that and have a better chance of talking him down. Whereas if I had just walked straight outside, it probably would have ended poorly. Yeah. With either me dying, both of them dying, everyone dying, who knows?
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if it's something that I would want to pick up right away. Because it comes out in a couple of, I want to say it's the 25th, maybe? I know it's the end of May, though. And I'm like 3/4 through the story for God of War.
Okay.
And then I still have some other stuff to play that like has just been kind of like sitting in my backlog.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely at some point want to check out Detroit and see what sort of world they built. Just because like that world seems interesting, and I really enjoyed Heavy Rain. I never played Beyond Two Souls.
I think that's one of the free PS Plus games this month.
It is, and I quote unquote purchased it, but I don't know if I'll ever actually sit down and play it, because I heard that one wasn't great.
Did those go up today or yesterday? I guess.
Oh, I thought it was last month. No, yeah, that's right. It is this month. Yeah, they should have went up yesterday, because yesterday was technically the first Tuesday of May.
Yeah, but sometimes when it's the first, they don't go up that quick.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, for some reason I was thinking it was last month, but it is this month.
Mm-hmm.
So I will purchase it, I should say. But I don't know if I'll ever actually get around to it. I have too many other games. But Detroit's definitely something that I will check out eventually.
Yeah.
I've obviously still been playing God of War. That game is a lot of fun. It goes some places. I'm trying to think of how I can say it without spoiling it, because the game has a lot of, like, whether it's like just character moments between like Kratos and Atreus and some of the other characters in the game, or if it's like actual like gameplay moments.
Mm-hmm.
But like shit goes down in that game. There are dragons. There are big fucking troll monsters. There's these weird statue things with metal, not metal, with like pillars that attack you. There's stone golems that you can only hurt them by throwing your weapon into their chest and then getting an orb and then throwing the orb in their chest. I hit a point in the story, though, where Atreus, your son, became a real d-bag. And it was one of those things where like the whole game I kind of felt bad for him.
Sure.
Because like, you know, His dad's a dick, doesn't really treat him well, calls him boy all the time, gives him, like, absolutely no praise for anything. Like, anytime this kid felt like he did well, like, the only response he got was, like, you know, you need to do better next time, or you missed this, like, shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like, Kratos is, like, the definition of a shitty dad.
Right.
But then, like, right when Kratos has a couple of, like, almost good moments with the kid suddenly does this, like, 180 and just becomes a complete D-bag to everybody. And, like, to the point where, like, he was actually making the game harder to play because of the way he was acting. Because, like, you control him for the most part. Or at least you control his attacks. If you need him to shoot things, you just hit square and he will shoot whatever is in your line of sight for the most part. Generally, whatever you're actually attacking. But there, so, as you get to upgrade his arrows, one set of arrow actually does, like, a little bit of, like, an explosion, which will hurt people in the general area. And the other arrow will actually chain damage around multiple guys. So, like, you might hit, like, three or four people at once when you're shooting arrows at. And he just decides to stop doing it when you hit the button. Like, he just starts running around and, like, shooting who he wants and stabbing people and just being little shit. To the point where, like, I kind of wanted to hit him with the fucking axe, but you can't. I don't know if his attitude's going to change or not, but he definitely fucked a whole lot of stuff up by being that way.
Nice.
And, like, to be fair, like, after a bunch of stuff goes down, Kratos tells him as much. Like, he does not mince words. He's like, this is your fault. You fucked up. Like, you listen to me or I'll fucking loot here. But yeah, that game, I am really enjoying that game. And like I was saying before, it's, I wouldn't say I'm taking my time with it. Because mm-hmm. there are people, like I know Eric has it, and I'm sure he is taking his time. I am probably 80% further in the game than he is, I would assume.
I'd bet.
But, like, I am going much, like, every time an area, so the game does this thing where you kind of have the central hub, which is, like, the big lake that you see in all the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, there's just, like, a bunch of stuff you can go in, or you can follow the story paths that take you to areas outside of the lake. Every time certain story beats happen, things change and more stuff becomes available to explore. So every time that happened, I have been going out and exploring what opens. So rather than it being like, okay, so this story part took me an hour and then the next one takes me an hour, it's like, all right, story part takes an hour, now here's 3 hours of me, like, rowing around this giant fucking lake looking for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the next hour. But it's worth it because there's a lot of dialogue and stuff that happens, like, while you're just rowing around in the boat. Early on in the game, it's Kratos telling Atreus stories, and like straight up, like, the frog and the scorpion story, like, stuff like that. Like, those weird, I don't even know what they're considered, like the life lesson story stuff, like, where somebody tries to do something and somebody else comes along and fucks it up for them, sort of thing.
Okay.
And it very much fits in with Kratos's mindset of, like, everybody sucks, like, the only person you can count on is yourself. And then, like, as the game goes on, you actually start getting stories about, like, the Norse gods and why the world is the way it is and stuff like that. And I'm hoping that it delves a little bit more into it. Where I'm at, I haven't gotten much of this, but I want to see more of, like, Kratos' history since the end of God of War. I want to know how he ended up where he's at, and I doubt we're going to know how long it's been. But I just want to know, like, how did he get here from there?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, did he go anywhere else in between? Because I know the rumor was it was either going to go to Norse mythology or to Egyptian.
Yeah.
I feel like the Norse one works better.
I mean, hard to tell.
So, like, just from what I know about, like, the two sets of mythologies, I think the Egyptian stuff could have been very cool. But I think because Norse mythology is all about, like, the nine realms and everything, that it just gives them more to play with in future games.
Sure.
Because I don't think Egyptian mythology really has, like, that whole thing. Like, they have, like, hell and stuff like that, but otherwise, you really just have Egypt to travel around, which, like, big place and all, but also a lot of desert.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows how many games they could get out of that.
True.
But yeah, so I'm going to keep on playing that. And then, other than that, I read some comics. Two in particular, but one thing that I just want to, like, quickly touch on. They brought back Wolverine.
Oh, right. I've been
doing that for a while. It was part of, like, the news before where there's literally going to be, like, 40 some odd books of, like, the search for Wolverine, where it's, like, 8 different teams are all out hunting for Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the first one, which I think it was literally just called The Hunt for Wolverine. And it's basically finding out how he got out of the Adamantium, because the death of Wolverine, I think I've talked about it, but
yeah.
The lead up to it was he lost his healing factor. and none of the scientists in the Marvel universe could figure out how to get it back to him. And rather than like doing the smart thing and just kind of like taking it easy while like smart people worked out, tried to work on it, he still went out and did stupid Wolverine stuff. And part of that was saving a bunch of people, but getting a molten vat of adamantium dumped over him.
Right.
And like dead. So the X-Men took that like Wolverine statue that it basically became and hid it away in like a cabin in Canada. Like nobody knew where it was. And they all felt kind of bad about doing that. So they ended up leaving that there, but they used Kitty Pryde, whose ability is to phase, and they had her literally phase into the adamantium and then pull Wolverine out of it. He was already dead because he had no healing factor, so he didn't survive like the molten metal pouring on him. But like they kind of made like a big deal about it because he is also, he has adamantium in and outside of him. Kitty had to figure out like what part was what and not like rip his skeleton out of his body, essentially.
Sure.
But like she was able to do it, and they like gave him like a proper burial and everything, and they basically left that cabin as like half memorial that like other with and half trap for bad guys.
Okay.
So like the very beginning of the book was a group of like X-Men villains showing up, and they wanted the statue. The metal is worth money, and then
right.
if they could get a sample of Wolverine's DNA, that would also be worth money.
Mm-hmm.
And like the X-Men show up and they stop them, but like not before they manage to rip the adamantium open, and you find out that the body's not there.
Oh.
And that's when they flash back and they show you all the stuff about them like pulling the body out and everything. Which I thought that was interesting. But like the story as a whole just wasn't, like, I feel like if you're going to bring back a character like Wolverine that really does sort of touch every part of the Marvel universe, make it a bigger deal. Like make that initial entry into it a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Cuz there was like a backup story that was maybe like 5 pages after that main part where it's Kitty goes to Tony Stark and tells him what's going on. It's like, and that's sort of where they set up the different team thing that's going on.
Okay.
Because, you know, Tony's going to get back the original New Avengers lineup that Wolverine was a part of. So it's like Tony and Spider-Man and I want to say Luke Cage and maybe Captain Marvel or Spider-Woman or somebody. I don't remember who all is going to be in that lineup. And like Kitty has like her X-Men team that's going to go looking for him. And they show Lady Deathstrike's going to have her team going to look for him for like her own reasons. But like that was a better portion of the story than the whole like, hey look, Wolverine got out and he's missing. Like those like 5 pages were more of a like, yeah, like Wolverine's important to everybody. Like he wasn't just an X-Men, he was an Avenger and he was a SHIELD agent and he was this and he was a ninja and all this shit. And it's like I feel like the whole book should have been that way, and it just wasn't. And it doesn't give me much hope for those other 40 issues that are coming out of this nonsense.
True.
Yeah. But other than that, I Avengers No Surrender, that like weekly series thing, finished. And like most Marvel events, it kind of finished flat.
Surprise.
Yeah, so like it wasn't a bad ending, but you know, they spent the whole thing building up a bunch of different stuff. Like they built up that Voyager character only to literally have her done at the end of it. Like you find out who she really is, and she was basically there to help the bad guys by tricking the good guys, but by the end of it, she became a good guy, very stereotypical. But then, because of all that, she decided that she needed to go off on her own and take care of, like, the bad guy. Like, keep him captive, essentially. And it's like, that just seems dumb. Like, you spent however many issues it's been, because it's been weekly since January, like, introducing and trying to build this character up just to, like, basically write her out of the book now.
Yeah.
And then, like, the whole thing was just very, I expected it to be a bigger setup for, like, what's to come. And it was to an extent. Like, it was setting up side stories, but not so much doing a great job of setting up, like, the core Avengers book. And that's kind of disappointing, because the core Avengers book actually looked like it was... It just... The first issue, the first of the new run, just came out today. But, like, it looks like it's going to be cool, because it's got a very different lineup, but also, like, a very familiar lineup. So it's the first time in... God, probably close to a decade now that that Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America are all on the team. As, like, and that, like, Steve Rogers, Captain America, Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Boy Thor. Like, they are all on the team together, along with Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and I feel like there's somebody else on that team that I'm forgetting. But, like, it's an interesting team dynamic, especially because Captain Marvel and Iron Man are not friends anymore because Captain Marvel almost killed him. It's also very movie, considering, like, the Avengers just came out. Like, minus Captain Marvel. Like, all you see in the trailers for that movie is, like, Iron Man and Cap and Thor and Black Panther, and they're missing, like, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man's in the trailers. Who else is in the trailers? Hulk. Like, you know, like, they have most of, like, who you see, it, like, getting the... Who you know is going to be in the movie. Yeah, so that... It's kind of a bummer that it ended so flat. And then the last one is Power Rangers Shattered Grid.
Okay.
So I mentioned before that, like, the Power Rangers comic is actually surprisingly good.
Right.
This is, like, the first... It's a crossover, but it's kind of weird the way they're doing it. So Boom has two different Power Rangers books. I've only been reading the one, like, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. They have another one called Go-Go Power Rangers. I have no idea what that book is actually about. I don't know if it's just more stories or if it's, like, an Amazing Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man sort of thing, or if it's something different. But Shattered Grid is running through both of the books, and it's... So, in the Power Rangers books, they did this storyline where there is a future version of Tommy who turned evil, and he goes by Lord Draken, D-R-A-K-K-O-N.
Okay.
And when he morphs, he is a fusion of the White and Green Ranger, so he's kind of cool looking, and he has taken the power coins from all of the Rangers and created, like, an army. So, like, his, like, infantry is, like, the Red Ranger and stuff like... just people in Red Rangers, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, present Tommy and Billy got stuck there for a little while and helped take him down and everything. But Shattered Grid is basically he is going through and fucking up the timelines. And he is traveling through time, stealing power, like, the Power Ranger powers from all the different generations of Power Rangers. So, I'm one issue behind. So, last week was, like, an annual that tied into it. I've read the first two, though, and in the second one, well, in the first one, they show the Time Force Power Rangers, which I think were, I want to say that was the series after the space ones. So you had, like, the Mighty Morphin that, like, ran through, like, Zeo and all that stuff that, like, we would have watched.
Right.
And then you had the Power Rangers in space, Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, I think it was called, which kind of, like, went hand in hand. And then after that, they went back to Earth, and I believe that was Time Force, where, like, I think all but the Red Ranger was from.
Sure.
But yeah, so, like, they have those, they have that, the Pink Ranger from there come back, because she was the leader. Then they jump to, like, I think it was, like, whatever season was, or Samurai Ranger, they jump to that one. It just looks like they're going to jump all over and kind of have all these different Rangers involved, which is kind of cool. Not that I watched the series that, like, that far into it, but just the fact that they're kind of bringing all of these different pieces in, it's been really good so far.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that whole book is actually really good. Like, it's surprise. Sean Alton and I were talking on Facebook the other day. Like, that and the Ninja Turtles book are, like, two of the best comics being made right now, and it makes no sense whatsoever.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like childhood, like, is getting, like, a second wind, and they're actually doing it right.
Well, yeah, I bet the people that are currently, like, heading up both those projects are people that have hardcore nostalgia for both those things.
Yeah, I know the person who writes the Mighty Morphin book that I read, he's, like, right in the right age bracket to have watched that stuff growing up. And I know the Ninja Turtles book, Kevin Eastman, who's one of the co-creators, is involved with it. I don't know how heavily he's involved, though.
Okay.
But that book, still. Yeah, that book is just, it takes a lot of the stuff that you no one remember from, like, the different incarnations of the Turtles, like the cartoon, the old comics, the movies, like some of the later cartoons, and, like, uses elements of it, but in a totally different way. But even that book getting long, I think they're in the 80s as far as Abrams go. So that's, it's been going on for nearly a decade, and it's still pretty high quality. But yeah, other than that, there was Infinity War.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
Man, like, alright, I thought it was good. Like, I definitely... I don't really have much to complain about, but I'm just kind of burnt out at this point on the superhero movies.
Yeah, which you have said before. That's why I was curious what your thoughts on it would be.
Yeah, like, it definitely, you know, it held my attention the whole time. I can't particularly say anything super negative about it, you know? Like, it was fine, but I just don't... I don't know if I can bring myself to care that much anymore.
I mean,
19 movies in 10 years is kind of a lot.
I mean, it's not that bad. It's just 19. They didn't hit 20.
No, not yet. They screwed up by not having this one be 20.
I mean, yeah, you know what? That would have been the way to go, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Especially since Ant-Man and the Wasp takes place before this.
Mm-hmm.
Man. But yeah, no, like, I can see that. And, like, it's not a perfect movie. Definitely.
No.
Like, none of these movies are. But
no.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I felt like there was enough payoffs from the last 10 years that made a lot of that stuff worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
And just a lot of the character interactions, like characters that you've never seen interact before, because either they've been introduced later, or like the Guardians had no part in any of the previous MCU stuff other than their own movies. So getting to see them interact with different parts of the universe was super cool.
Yeah.
And like, frankly, like the Thor Rocket, like buddy cop stuff was great.
Yeah, it was real good.
I'm trying not to talk too much spoiler wise. But yeah, like I thought it was paced very well.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of started pretty quickly, and it kept a good pace. It didn't suffer the way Ultron.
No.
Age of Ultron had that like long chunk on the farm where, while it was interesting because there's a lot of kind of like character building and stuff,
mm-hmm.
it was a long section of it, or it felt like a long section of it. Nothing was really happening, and the movie was already not really doing great. So to, like, break away from everything going on to, like, give them this chance to, like, recuperate on, like, random farm that Hawkeye owns, just kind of pulled away from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was another one of those, like, Age of Ultron, like, I've talked to other people about it. Like, they spent a lot of time in that movie setting up things to come. And, like, part of that farm was setting up the differences between Cap and Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
That we would see, like, kind of come to a head in Civil War.
Right.
So it was just, this movie didn't do any of that. It didn't spend its time setting up what's to come, really. Obviously by the end of this, things are set up for Avengers 4.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, it's like, okay, well, this guy's going to have this vision, and these two are going to have this in-depth conversation, and all of this stuff is going to be, like, foreshadowing to, like, these next three movies that we already have planned out that you know are coming.
Yeah.
It's more of a, like, yeah, like, these guys don't know each other, so they're kind of fucking up because they never fought together before, and there's a lot of banter going around and snark.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Doctor Strange was really well played. Like Benedict Cumberbatch did a really good job in the Doctor Strange movie, but having him interact with like more people in the MCU was just interesting, especially because he's a modern day surgeon,
mm-hmm.
but he keeps throwing around like the way he talks is very much like the comic book Doctor Strange, kind of like old school. Like he asks Iron Man at one point if Spider-Man is his ward,
right?
And he says something at one point about like who you serve or what master do you serve. Like that's just a weird way to ask if you're a bad guy or a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any like without spoiling anything? Is there any like particular stuff that like stood out for you in the movie? Which I realize is kind of a loaded question after I say without spoiling anything.
I mean, you know, just like you said, like a lot of the interactions between characters that never interacted with each other before. Like, I mean, I didn't see, you know, like Stark and Doctor Strange or Thor. Thor and Rocket was definitely great.
Thor with all of the Guardians, I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, no, nothing else super in particular that I can think of.
All the fights were pretty good too.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, and it's kind of to be expected, because there are so many characters going on, you don't get a lot of time with any one group or with any one character.
It does like, jump around a bit.
It jumps around, and the fights are good, but you never get that like big. You don't ever feel like you get that big moment because it keeps jumping around. So like when you expect the big moment to be coming up, it's usually done a little quicker than like some of the previous movies would have done it because they have to get that portion wrapped up so that they can then cut away to like another section.
Yeah.
I will say, though, Thanos, probably the most developed villain that they have had in one of these movies.
Sure.
Look, they showed that he had a motive. They showed that he had conviction. He's totally a villain. Like, there's no disputing that. But, like, think about, like, most of the other villains in the MCU. Like, outside of, like, Loki and, to an extent, Killmonger in Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
They all just kind of come off as, like, one-dimensional D-bags. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, like, all of the Iron Man villains have been pretty shitty. And, like, not shitty because they're villains. Like, there's just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Red Skull was interesting, but he was barely a villain because it's not like him and Cap ever really, like, had, like, a proper confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
Winter Soldier and Civil War, I'd say, were, like, the two weird ones because, like, the villain in those wasn't great, but the overall kind of way they played out was really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the MCU is just not great at villains, and I feel like Thanos might be one of the best that they have done. Just by giving him some sort of, like, they give him a little bit of a backstory, they gave him, like, they actually put some time and effort in that they normally don't do with the other bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm thinking movie is only a week old. We,
not do super spoilers.
We don't do this just because...
Yeah, that's fair.
I figure, like, Richie will probably have a bunch of stuff he'll add if he shows up next week, and this way, people still have a little bit of time to watch the movie, and then they can come listen to us spoil the shit out of it.
That's fair.
All right. We might see it, or I might see it again this week, because Erica didn't get to go. She forgot that I bought tickets and made plans with her cousin.
Oops.
And it was one of those things where she made the plans, and then she found out that her making plans actually made it easier for her aunt and uncle to, like, plan a party that they were trying to throw for, like, each other's birthdays.
Ah.
So she couldn't be like, hey, look, I forgot this was happening. I have to cancel and reschedule. But yeah, so I think we're going to try and go either maybe, like, during the weekend or something, I assume.
Cool.
Yeah. Anything else, though, before we wrap up?
No, I don't think so.
All right, then. That was the show. Thank you for listening. If you want to find more of our stuff, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can, as I said earlier, help us out by supporting us over at patreon.com/onequest. We are on all the social media platforms, facebook.com/onequestonline, @one_quest on Twitter, @one_quest on Instagram. Our YouTube is youtube.com/onequestvideo. You can find all of these podcasts on services, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Spotify, or just about any other app or platform.
Yeah.
I think that's everything. Oh, and you can email us, social@one-quest.com.
Yep.
Did you guys end up doing a wrestling report?
No. Like, we've been, you know, slacking. It's been,
You've
we've been slacking. Slacking. We've been slacking, and it's been a rough couple weeks for me, and I've just, like I said, I've not wanted to do anything. Backlashes on Sunday. We'll probably record after that, I hope.
Well, at least that sounds like a plan.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, April was a weirdly packed full of things month for WWE, so it just made it like, well, do we wait for this thing to happen and then record, or do we, like, if it was a thing that we, you know, could put out weekly, then maybe, you know, there would be less conflict of, oh, well, do we wait and for this thing to happen, or wait for that thing to happen, and then we got paralyzed by choice.
It happens.
Yep.
And look, by that point, so if you're going to record later, you can talk about the GOP mayoral candidate in Tennessee, Kane.
Yeah.
Because that's a thing.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back next week with something. Bye.
Bye.